Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm told there were basketball games over the weekend. I haven't even mentioned the Tar Heels winning in Charlottesville, but I actually had a much more creative entry to that. They shot 32% from the field. They were minus four in turnovers. RJ Davis was just one of 14. They scored just 54 points, and they won by 10. Virginia basketball, mwah, chef's kiss. Brett Friedlander, ACC columnist, SaturdayRoad.com, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. We'll get to the Tar Heels at some point. I'm proud of them for putting up with 40 minutes of whatever Virginia does. All right, let's get to what happened in Winston-Salem. Do we start with the game? I mean, do we go that far and go, wait, basketball was played. I thought both teams played well. Wake played great. Got a win they absolutely had to have. Can we start there before we get to the other stuff?
Please.
All right.
Because I think the craziness afterwards really took away from a very significant result. I mean, it was the ultimate, you know, shut up to Joe Lunardi. And I applaud Steve Forbes afterwards for not gloating about it.
But he sort of did. We're gonna play the clip. I love it. yeah, but Hunter Salas had one of those games where, good luck trying to guard me today, right?
Yeah, and then the thing about it is, what I thought was a great coaching move is that after he went for, 20 points in the first half, they went right to Andrew Carr in the second half because Duke was going to try to stop Hunter Salas. And I said, okay, we'll just take advantage of your weakness inside, and Andrew Carr just did some work. So I think it showed the depth and the diversity that Wake has. And again, you know, metrics aside, I think Saturday's game, to those who are watching Wake for the first time, was an indication that the eye test says that this team belongs in the field of 68.
Like, the truth is that we're the basketball committee, the football committee,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't have even been a conversation. Like, we've seen Wake play. We know what they're capable of. Therefore, they would have been in the field because somebody would have asked the question in the committee room, who wouldn't you want to play against, right? Who wouldn't you want to coach against? Which is the dumbest thing in the world to do when you're only choosing between four teams in football, but somehow that was able to fly because too many in the college football media think that's that's a good idea.
And Adam, there's another correlation between the football committee and Wake Forest in that they made such a big deal that Florida State was not the same team at the time of the selection as they were earlier in the season. Well, let's use that in reverse, because if you take the first seven games of the year in which Wake was 4-3 before Efton Reed got his waiver to be able to play, they're a totally different team now. And I believe they're 14-6 since he took over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're going to use that logic, then you have to use it for Wake, too,
we
right?
We can't do that. We can only do that to protect SEC football, Brett. You have not read the rules. Those
and
are
Mountain
the
West
rules.
Basketball.
At Mountain West basketball. yes. if we have time, we'll get back to the game. I thought Wake was great. I thought they would win. Sometimes need is a little stronger than want. I thought they needed it. I actually think the biggest play in the game was the Andrew Carr three-pointer that he hit from the corner, his only one of the game. But I thought from that point on, I didn't think Duke knew what to do defensively. Because, wait, now we got to go out there?
Yeah, I thought the biggest play was the Cam Hildreth three a little bit later,
that's
too.
True.
Yeah,
who doesn't shoot a lot of threes, and apparently I didn't realize playing with a messed up wrist. All right. Court storming. Yeah. I don't know. Look, Chris Canty went next level bro, and it's Kyle Filipowski's fault. Is there a way to stop it? John Shire talked about when are we going to ban court storming? I mean, if we let's play the mental argument, the hypothetical here. All right, let's ban court storming. Now what?
How do you stop it?
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What do you do?
A moat.
Do you put a cage around the? Do you put a fence around the court the way they do in Euro soccer or down in Central America? I mean, seriously. I mean, you could say you're not allowed to do it, but when you get 5,000 kids lined up around the court and you have maybe 100 security guards, how are you going to stop it?
I don't think you can. Look, I said this before. I don't know what the I was not there. So I don't know what security Wake Forest had in place. But I've been to plenty of games. Right. I've been to plenty of games. And in many cases, it's, retirees who get the yellow jackets. And, like, they're really cool. And they've been around the program. And they love watching Wake basketball or whatever. And, again, I don't want to make this specific because I don't know the situation there. And I want to be fair. I don't want to paint everything with the same brush. It's different everywhere. But I will say that I've seen very few situations where it seems like the security of the people on the floor are a serious priority. I do see ACC tournaments, and it does seem like they take the security seriously. Every school should take it seriously.
And, you know, in the ACC tournament, you're not going to get a court storm because you just don't have enough fans, and at least for that school. But here's the thing about Saturday.
People sitting close to the court are not storming the court.
Yes.
They're going to storm the luxury suite.
Here's the thing about Saturday. There were a bunch of people in fluorescent yellow shirts that were around the court. But they basically watched everybody run by them. They did absolutely nothing. And so I think the key here is training. And, you know, listen, if you've got all those people that are like jammed up against the court and you know they're coming, you got to tell them, look, kids, either hold up until the other team's off the court or stay on this side. I mean, and they'll listen. I mean, they'll listen. You just have to be forceful to them.
You are a man of incredible faith.
Right? I mean, no, but I mean, look, you're not telling them to stop. You're just, you're kind of making some orderly, procedures here. And they'll follow it. You have to do something. Because the court is the players' and coaches' domain. And I hear the whole thing about Filipowski throwing the first blow and everything. You know what? He's one guy, and he's facing a mob of thousands. That's called self-defense. He's entitled to do that if that's what happened. So, I mean, there are things that could be done, and fines will help. But, you can't stop it. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of stopping it because college athletics is about emotion. It's about fun. It's about students. It's about and that's what separates it from, like, the NBA. This is – as long as it's done in an orderly way, I love court storms.
Yeah, we just had a court storming in the SEC, and I don't remember the schools.
South Carolina, Kentucky.
Okay, there you go. South Carolina stormed the court when they beat Kentucky.
Yep.
Did anybody get hurt in that?
No, and you won't hear about it for the 9,000 court storms all year. But when Caitlin Clark gets knocked over or Kyle Filipowski bangs knees with somebody, everybody's calling for him to be stopped.
And here's the thing. The SEC has a rule against it. This is the reason I brought it up. So they fined South Carolina $100,000.
Yep.
Because the court was stormed. And the same thing happens in a football game. There are you're not allowed to storm the field. Well, Clemson can't go to the SEC. It would cost them $100,000 a home win.
Right.
Automatically, $100,000 a home win to join the SEC. They have to go to the Big Ten. I'm breaking that news right now. you're not allowed. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. It's just, okay, so it's going to happen, so this is what we're going to do. And maybe it becomes not part of the culture of those schools, and that's fine, but I do think it's part of the – I think it's part of the experience, and I do agree. I think it's what separates.
You know what else? You know what else contributed to Saturday's issue too? the fact that Steve Forbes called a timeout with 1.8 seconds left to go. Now, obviously, they tried an alley-oop earlier, and, you know, he didn't want him to do anything stupid, even though they had a four-point lead. I get it. But that extra 30 seconds or 45 seconds or a minute or whatever just gave the crowd that much more time to get torqued up. And I think getting that game over with and just kind of getting them off the court, I think it may have helped.
Well, we've seen it happen before, and I'm not necessarily suggesting this, but in certain other situations, we've seen teams take their starters off the court, right? And then I go, well, do you not care about the other players? I mean, they're also players too, right? They're also flesh and bone. I don't think there's anything you're going to do about it other than I think the onus is on the university. To have in place procedures to deal with this type of thing. Steve Logan likes to say to me what he used to tell offensive linemen: when you're going up against somebody who is bigger, faster, and stronger than you, get run over slowly. So you tell
you know what else too, Adam?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You want to stop court storms? Don't lose on the road.
That's it. I blame Kyle Filipowski. Like, don't go to Duke and don't lose when you go on the road. That's your fault, Kyle. I don't have nobody else to blame but Kyle Filipowski. All right, so I want to play the Steve. We'll close on this little element. Here's what Steve Forbes. I want to set it up as well as I can. Forbes, this is a year removed, saw a tweet from Joe Lunardi. He had this in the chamber for a long time. So a tweet from Joe Lunardi criticizing the quality of ACC basketball by pointing to their last three players of the year, which were Moses, what was his name from Georgia
Tech? Moses Wright.
Moses Wright from Georgia Tech. Then it was
Alondis
Williams from Wake, and last year Isaiah Wong from Miami, who are not necessarily household NBA names. As for why the ACC was considered down, here's Steve Forbes yesterday.
First of all, it's disrespectful to those three kids because being a player of the year, I didn't realize that was a prerequisite to having a great league or having a tournament resume or getting a seed. And quite frankly, he neglected to say when Moses Wright got player of the year, he led his team to the ACC championship, got COVID, didn't get a play in the tournament. But the number four pick in the draft in our league was Scotty Barnes. Okay, now you go the next year, he's going to say that about Alondis? When Paolo Banchero was the number one pick in the draft. We had three first-team NBA picks that made second-team All-ACC. Wesley, Laravia for us, and Wendell Moore. Then we had a third-team All-ACC player, Mark Williams, who was a first-round pick. And we had another ACC player that didn't even make All-League that was a first-round pick, A.J. Griffin. We had two teams playing the Final Four, one team playing the Elite Eight, and one team play for the National Championship. That's not a down league.
I love Steve Forbes so much. I mean, where does Joe Lunardi even think these things through?
I think he does, and I think he's got some sort of an agenda, probably the Big East, because he's an East Coast guy.
He's a St. Joe's guy. He is, if anything, an Atlantic 10 guy.
Okay, but listen, you've been around the ACC long enough.
Yeah.
Because we go back way back.
Yes.
That the ACC used to be obnoxious about pounding its chest as to how good they were. They were the gold standard, the be-all and end-all of college basketball. And they were right for a very long time. Yeah. But people got tired of hearing it. I think this is a backlash for that. Now that the field is leveled out with NIL, with TV, with, you know, the ACC is not up there anymore. It's one of the best, but it's not the best.
Right.
And I think this is the payback.
So we're going to be able to do this to SEC football soon?
Maybe.
Is that what you're saying?
Unless, of course, the SEC is the only conference left.
That is true. We're all the SEC. Well, that's very possible that could happen. Yeah, doesn't it make your league better if your ACC player of the year ends up being a second round pick and the number one pick in the draft is Paolo Banchero, it's just the silliest thing ever. But and also when Lenardi put out, and I think I saw you respond to this before anybody else, when he says the ACC seeds over the last several years, you know, they had a two and a two fours and a five, blah, blah, blah. And then I think you pointed out, yeah, you forgot the second part of that where they went to two Final Fours, a national championship game, or actually three Final Fours because Miami went last year. And all you know, how far these teams went, all that should matter to the equation. And maybe it just tells you that maybe y'all kind of screwed that up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe more teams should have gotten in, because if you look at the Big Ten, I mean, Purdue's been a one or a two seed the last 3 or 4 years. Twice in the last 3 years, they've lost to a 15 seed and a 16 seed. So, I mean, if you want to really use the postseason as a true indicator of conference strength, there you go.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Purdue this year. I mean, I think a lot of people have it loaded in the chamber. I'm not necessarily.
Let's put it this way: if I'm a 15 or a 16 seed, I want them.
Oh my gosh, Brett Friedlander, ACC columnist, SaturdayRoad.com. Thank you very much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, Adam.
You
take
got
care,
it,
buddy.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.